All right, welcome back to another episode of the Justify Your Existence podcast. I'm your host, Brendan Farrell. Today, I am joined by the Daily Journal's own, James Murphy. James, how are you?
I'm good, Brendan. Happy Halloween.
Thank you. Happy Halloween to you. And you know what? Maybe there is a slightly spooky matchup on Saturday.
I would say so. And going to be interesting to see how they set the tone with really no room for error the rest of the way.
The adjective I was going to use was frisky, but the Halloween talk made me think about spooky. So,
frisky probably works too.
Yeah. We're talking about Ole Miss, Arkansas. You can follow me on Twitter at bferrell727. You can follow James at jsmurphymedia. Thank you for the thumbs up. I'm glad that I remembered.
It's a tough one. A lot of letters all over the place.
But overall, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. As I mentioned, a lot of really interesting stretch for Ole Miss. Again, it's just kind of, like I said, it's no room for error. They have really got to focus in, and they have some things to clean up if they want to get the most out of this home stretch, if you will.
Yeah, you got any Halloween plans?
Halloween plans? That's a good question. Apparently, there's going to be a lot of rain. I think I'm going to try and check off another Halloween movie off my list. Probably going to go for something I haven't seen. What about you?
Yeah, Halloween's just not my holiday. I'm more of a Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter guy, so.
Thanksgiving is getting more and more underrated, and I'm not a fan. But that's just me.
Yeah, I'm just not a Halloween person. I'm usually not the fun one in the group, so I guess that just tracks. But yeah, not really my holiday. But, you know, I'm glad other folks are going to have a good time tonight. And good luck with the rain tonight, I suppose. But yeah, so we've got football on Saturday. Down in Starkville, we've got Mississippi State going up against UMass. And, you know, I think I'm just going to leave that one be for a bit. And, I do not think there would be a greater possible calamity for Mississippi State than to lose to UMass at home. So, but we're just going to put that on the shelf. We're just going to put that one away for a bit.
Just going to bookmark it.
Not even going to bookmark it. We're just going to acknowledge that that game is technically happening. Somehow not the weirdest matchup for UMass this season.
Oh, that's right, because they hosted Mizzou.
Yes. And I'm still not sure how that happened.
Well, you mentioned it was some sort of home and home, right?
I forget the history of that, but yeah. Somehow this is the most normal game between UMass and an SEC opponent this year. So
very true. Yeah, very true.
So we're going to be talking about Ole Miss, Arkansas. Ole Miss once again going back on the road after being at home this last week. Just overall, what are your impressions?
Well, this is the first of a slate of games where you really have to go 4-0 if you want to even think of the playoffs. And I don't really see an easy matchup. Like, each of the ones left has some sort of challenge. Either the team is really good, or it's a situation, or it's some kind of rivalry, or there's some kind of matchup. In the case of Arkansas, they are facing a team that it seems like every time they play, at least since Lane Kiffin was hired, they have had really weird and wild matchups. I believe, Michael Katz did a story at djournal.com, our Ole Miss writer, about just how all over the place these games were. I don't think Lane Kiffin has won in Fayetteville since taking the job. I think their last win in the I think Ole Miss's last win in the state was 2018. A lot of one possession games, a lot of shootouts, a lot of turnover heavy, just a lot of weird stuff happens in this game. It's like how the saying goes, weird stuff happens under a full moon.
Sure, we're going to roll with it, especially because it's Halloween. So,
right, exactly. I did not think of that. The same can be said about this game, and I think we can expect that here. We have seen Arkansas knock off a very good, albeit flawed, Tennessee team at home. We have seen how the how that stadium can be really tough for opponents. And we have seen Ole Miss look very all over the place, especially over the last month of the season. So it is very much a trap spot, especially with Georgia at home the next week. So mindset, focus, and erasing mistakes are all going to be really, really big for Ole Miss here.
You mentioned weird things happening when Ole Miss and Arkansas get together. And really, when I think of Ole Miss, Arkansas, I think of Hunter Henry in, overtime, the 4th and 25, just, hucking it up to somebody. Mm-hmm. Just somebody's over there, right?
Right.
And it going for a first down somehow. You are right. Like, weird stuff happens when these two teams get together.
Like last year, I did get to go to the game last year and do a sidebar. That, in comparison to the ones that had preceded it, was a relatively normal game. But even with that, it was one of those where you kind of looked at the scoreboard and were like, well, it was actually a very close game. And it was like, when a team had a chance to pull away, it couldn't because of something bizarre or just another play made by the other team. And, matchup-wise, I feel like I talked about this before the Kentucky game, where it's one of those games where Ole Miss is going to have to start fast and get the game on their terms early, because we have seen what happened when it's not. We have seen them just not really be able to get into a groove. We've seen at least seven penalties in all but one game this year, the Furman game. They had, 12 against LSU and 11 in back-to-back games early against, I believe, Wake Forest and Georgia Southern. So, and we've seen teams who are good enough take advantage of not only that, but just a lot of mistakes. And, you're going to have that to deal with. I think Jackson Dart needs to have much better decision-making skills. I believe there were at least two consecutive throws where against LSU, he threw it into, I want to say, quintuple coverage. just one Rebel surrounded by at about five Tigers on several throws, and somehow it ended up in only incompletions. And we've seen what he's capable of when he's on, but there have been too many times late when he isn't. I still feel like the sack he took against Kentucky that led to the missed field goal, because it ended up being farther away than it could have been if he either threw it away or tried to run it himself and gain even two or three extra yards, I have to believe that's still in the back of his head, or in the back of Rebels fans' heads at the very least. So that's got to be a lot different. And the team's just got to be more composed, The team's got to be more level-headed. And again, yes, Georgia's coming to town. Yes, Vaught Hemingway will be a zoo when that happens, but that's not what you got to deal with in a matter of 48 hours. In less than 48 hours, you got to go to Arkansas.
Yeah, on the penalty front, Ole Miss is 131st in the country in penalty yards per game. So there are 134 teams in college football, so I would argue that is not great. But I will say, though, last week was a nice bounce back for Jackson Dart against a pretty good Oklahoma defense. We can say whatever we want about Oklahoma as a whole. Mostly, their offense is, kind of where all the problems lie. But, defensively, Ole Miss had a nice little bounce back. Dart going 22 for 30 for 311 yards. One touchdown, QBR of 88.80, and by the way, his top target wasn't even playing.
Right. I will give credit where credit is due by addressing an elephant in the room, in that obviously Trey Harris being gone for the past, 2-3 weeks now? Something along those lines?
Recent stretch.
This, having him out for this recent stretch has been hard. He was on fire for a lot of the season. Even in the Kentucky game, he was just putting them on his back a lot of times, and to not have him and for Dart to be able to do what he's done even without Trey Harris, who if you're a Rebel fan, you're really, really hoping he's back on Saturday. But in his absence, they've done very well. He's been able to spread the ball around a lot, a little more. I believe there were six receivers with at least three catches. Cade Priest-Corn leading the team in carries. Also, I am, and this is probably the Big Ten fan in me talking, but I am a big believer in if you have a great tight end, you need to be able to utilize them properly, because tight ends are too big for the average cornerback or safety to cover, and they are a little bit too fast for the average linebacker to cover. They are a natural mismatch if you get the right tight end. And I do think Priest-Corn is one of those guys. And if they can just be able to get him the ball and therefore open up the rest of the offense, that could be really big, especially if Harris can't go on Saturday.
Yeah, I was going to say that was, to me, the big thing that I saw from the Oklahoma game was they very much did it by committee, which is even more difficult when you can't run the ball at all. And you can say what you want about the Ole Miss ground game this year. But against Oklahoma, 31 carries, 69 yards. You kind of just have to throw the ball.
Not nice.
When that happens, right? And that's kind of what I've thought about Ole Miss sometimes this year. Is I'm like, just let loose. It's okay if Jackson Dart throws the ball 40 times. Like, you know, when it's working like it was on Saturday, like, just let it loose. But they very much did it, you know, by committee. Like, you know, Priest-Corn was their leading receiver at 71 yards. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I think that was kind of more of what we thought Ole Miss's offense should look like. Granted, you know, with more of a Trey Harris presence, right? That was a big game for Priest-Corn. That was his first time over 50 yards for the first time since the season opener.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Because that's kind of how I feel like some people were thinking. Is like, what happened to Caden Priest-Corn? Like, do we need to put him on a milk carton, right? I don't know. I just thought that was interesting.
Yeah. And look, this is, you know, you brought... And as obviously as good as Trey Harris, as big as the hype was for him going into the season, and as great as he was early on when he was playing, he was not the only receiver room. This was touted as, and still has the talent of, one of, if not the best wide receiver room in college football. You have Jordan Watkins. You brought in Juice Wells to be able to add depth to it. You still have Priest-Corn. Caden Lee has stepped up, almost flown a little bit under the radar because of how much the former names were talked about. And the later you get into the season, the more you're going to have to use each of them, at least in some capacity. And the Oklahoma game was a good sign of that.
Yeah, so let me tell you what I think the real matchup in this one is. I am very interested to see how Ole Miss's run defense does against Arkansas. Ole Miss's defense has been very, very good this year. They have been really good in pretty much all aspects, right? They've played against the pass pretty well. Their pass rush has also done very well. They have really suffocated opposing offenses, especially on the ground game. However, they have Arkansas. They're going to Arkansas, I should say. And Arkansas has one of the country's better ground attacks. Right now, they are tied for seventh in rushing success. The 1-2 punch of Taylen Green and Jaquindon Jackson has been very, very good. Granted, like, I feel like every stat line against Mississippi State just shouldn't count, because what's happening on defensively in Starkville is just bad.
Yeah,
very
bad. That was ugly. What, 54 points?
58, I think it was.
58. Wow.
Do not collect $200. Do not pass go.
Very true.
But in that game, Arkansas averaged about 10 yards a carry. Right. I just sort of feel like, I'm not saying this is going to be what makes or breaks either team in this one, but I feel like that's the big matchup for me.
It is. It is how Arkansas will try to get the game on their terms early. Because as we've seen, especially, and this is the case most of the time in football in general, but especially with Ole Miss, in the games they play, whoever controls the tempo early and sets the tone is in really, really good shape the rest of the way. And Ole Miss is going to try and do it, I assume, with a healthy amount of passing, with or without Trey Harris, whereas Arkansas is really going to try to get the run game going, where I believe they're third in the SEC in yards per game, just under 200 a game.
Something like that. Arkansas is really good at running the ball.
Right. That for them, they'll try to limit this game, yet make both teams have as few possessions as possible, and just try to almost put a little bit of pressure on Ole Miss so that when they do get the ball, they feel more of an urgency to score. Maybe that creates stress. Maybe that creates turnovers. Maybe that creates more penalties and just mistakes for the Razorbacks to take advantage of.
Right. However, this season, Ole Miss is fourth in the country in success rate against the run on defense. And they are third in the country in EPA per rush on defense. They have been just stellar. I threw up a sort of graphic of the situation on my Twitter, at BFerrell727. And, I mean, really the only team that's been better than them in the Power 5 or Power 4, I'm just going to keep using Power 5 for as long as I can for whatever reason. It's, you know, occasionally a San Diego Chargers or an Oakland Raiders will pop out of my mouth. Really, Tennessee is the only team that's been anywhere. Like, Tennessee is really the only one that's been clearly better than them. But I will say that when Arkansas upset Tennessee, Tennessee shut down their ground game, and it still wasn't enough.
Right, because their quarterback was able to get going, right?
Yep. Taylen Green got hot in that one, and they went and beat Tennessee. I mean, it's just how it goes sometimes. But yeah, to me, that's kind of the interesting matchup, is can Arkansas get their ground game going in this one?
Yeah, that'll be really interesting. And, you know, we've seen Ole Miss be able to do it. We've seen, and again, I know I keep harping on it, but I feel like a lot of what Ole Miss is going to be able to do in terms of stopping the run game is to just be able to avoid penalties, avoid being offsides, avoid pass interference when you can. Although, again, I do think Arkansas will try and lean on the run more often than not, unless they get behind. That's pretty big at some point. But, again, just have to be smart and composed on defense and trust what got you there, in a way.
The other big aspect is that both these two teams are, like, really good defensively in the red zone. So, like, if you want to talk about, like, oh, like, make the most of, you know, every possession and or every scoring opportunity you have, it is really tough to do so against either of these two teams. Yeah, and then, so Ole Miss is second in the country in, like, red zone scoring percentage on defense. They allow a touchdown 30% of the time. Which is indeed the best in the country.
Mm-hmm.
But Arkansas is also pretty darn good at it. They allow teams to score 80.7% of the time, but they limit teams to touchdowns 50% of the time. So, especially with how aggressive Ole Miss gets on fourth downs, especially like in the red zone, it's interesting.
Yeah, and one of two things could happen when you get out of this. One, Caden Davis is going to have to do some extra stretching before the game. And the option number two is, and this is assuming they have a lot of fourth and shorts, J.J. Pegues is going to get his money's worth.
Let me tell you, that one last week where he just kept going.
Just kept rolling, just, yeah. Stretches his arm out, touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... It's unstoppable. You know what? If all else fails, maybe he can get the handoff for the Chicago Bears at the goal line.
Hey, they got to honor William Perry somehow.
After what happened on Sunday, I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows you give the ball to the defensive tackle, not your backup right guard.
See? You get it. One other thing I want to throw out there. There's this concept of havoc rate, which is basically like how often teams have plays that result in a tackle for loss, force a fumble, or a pass defended. Ole Miss's defense is ranked third in the country.
Okay.
And I feel like if we're talking about, you know, the ground game and just with everything going on with Ole Miss, I mean, like, their pass rush went bananas against Oklahoma last week, right? I just feel like that fits into this matchup pretty well.
It does. Got to be able to do that. And they were able to get that pass rush going against, again, while flawed, very talented quarterback in Jackson Arnold. So I think if you're Pete Golding, you have to think that it'll translate at least somewhat similarly over to Arkansas if things go right.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that I don't know. I'm just not quite ready to give up on this Ole Miss team. I feel like I don't know. I just sort of feel like they've been a little unfortunate to have two losses right now. But that's just the way it goes. But you can see the pieces, I think, very, very well. I think you can see the pieces. And every time I look at stats for stuff, Ole Miss is pretty much near the top at pretty much everything.
It's never been a question of the talent on the roster or the pieces. I think that, again, as early as last December, you could tell that this was, on paper, one of the most complete rosters. If we're talking about this in terms of a puzzle, like, all of the pieces are there. It's just that occasionally there's been some shaking in the house and one of them pops off or falls on the floor and you kind of got to put it back together. And then like a loud truck goes by and then it knocks the puzzle pieces out again. I think it's been kind of one of those things.
I know, but it's just weird because I feel like the public are very down on them. But every time I look at stats and I sort by, you know, the best, right, Ole Miss is at the top or towards the top of like everything I look at. And it's like, okay, well, surely that discrepancy would be seen on the field and on the stats, right? But it just hasn't happened. You know who hasn't quit on Ole Miss? Bill Connolly's SP Plus, who has Ole Miss by 14.4 points and an 82% chance to win on Saturday. This is number 3 versus number 29 in SP Plus, so...
Overall SB Plus, because I know sometimes it can go for offensive. Okay.
Yeah, overall. Number 3 versus number 29. So, again, it's hard to quit on Ole Miss.
Oh, yeah. Look, the talent's there. It's just a matter of, well, partially getting out of their own way because you're not going to be able to make the college football playoff averaging, what, off the top of my head, 8-9 penalties a game for 80-some yards? Like, you're not going to be able to win games like that.
Yeah, totally agree. To me, that's like the one like big thing I've noticed from the Giffen teams is, for whatever reason, they are extremely undisciplined.
Yeah, it's just, if the saying goes, they sometimes shoot themselves in the foot. There are some games where after the final whistle is blown, their shoes aren't worth very much.
Yeah, I thought you were just gonna say that they have plenty of ammunition, but
yeah, that would work too. Yeah.
But, it's just, I understand why some people may have this down as a trap game, maybe for Ole Miss, or why some people are concerned about this one. Especially with Georgia coming up, be very, very easy to look past Arkansas. I just feel like we're not giving Ole Miss enough credit.
We aren't. And talent's there. We've seen what it can be. We've seen what Jackson Dart can be. We've seen what the offense in general can be. We've seen what the defense can be. It's just a matter of them putting it together. That's really the biggest and arguably only thing that's been keeping them from reaching a potential that a lot of people seem to think at the beginning of the year.
Yeah. So I don't know. Just overall, what do you think about this one?
Gonna be tough. This being 11 a.m., maybe you could argue that works in Ole Miss's favor, because if it's at night, God knows if anybody's going to be able to hear anybody on the sideline. But, again, a lot of it is focus. A lot of it is mental. Now, Trey Harris, whether or not he can go, is going to play a really, really big role. But with or without him, I do think that mindset will probably dictate a lot of how this game goes, because you have to deal with pressure. You have to try and focus on this instead of thinking, oh, we got Georgia next week at home. And you got to just kind of put away a lot of the things that have been causing dozens of penalties over the course of several games. Again, it's a lot of this is mental. A lot of this is mental, especially for guys like Jackson Dart.
Yeah, I just think that Ole Miss's offense, I think they'll be able to get enough going through the air, whether they have Trey Harris or not. And I think that's going to put Arkansas into some fairly unfavorable game scripts, to the point where even if, you know, Arkansas is winning the ground game battle, I just don't think they'll be able to keep up.
I think in that case, the question for Arkansas becomes, can you force a few turnovers and can you force Ole Miss to make a couple of mistakes that you can take advantage of?
Well, that's always the recipe as an underdog, though.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Turnovers, special teams, some combination, short fields and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else you want to add?
That's all the big stuff. 11 a.m. on Saturday should be interesting.
Sounds good. James, is there anything you want to plug?
In terms of what I have, well, in terms of college stuff, not off the top of my head.
Right. Well, you can follow James on Twitter at JS Murphy Media. You can follow myself on Twitter at BFerrell727. You can find all of our coverage, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, high school, whatever, at djournal.com. James, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, man. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you, too. Enjoy your week, everybody.